But every month when I look at the data of people coming in and where they're ending up, that's the group with the highest demand.
That's interesting. So again, not to, quote unquote, call it a trend. I know that's like a negative pejorative, but like what would you say is causing that? Like that there are more and more trans kids coming out or
First of all, transgender is an umbrella term, right? So sometimes when I use the word transgender, people are thinking in their head that someone is transitioning, right? That the process is happening. But transgender could be non-binary, it could be genderqueer. There's like a whole verbiage that fits under the transgender umbrella.
Okay, this is confusing again because for me, when I think transgender, that means, I was born a boy and I want to be a girl. Like that's how I understand transgender. Otherwise, what's the difference
So
again?
yes, transgender can mean that, but that's the umbrella term of essentially the inside that who you are, your gender of who you are is different than what is seen on the outside or that what you're born with or assigned at birth, right? Which means that there's variations of that. It's not so extreme of like one to another, right? Like it could be how you manifest that, see that, or express that. It could be a range of different elements.
Welcome to the Face Transition Podcast. In this episode, I'm excited to have Celeste Carolyn, Executive Director for Mama Dragons, back on the show. She will tell us more about who are the Mama Dragons and what are the goals of the organization, nearly 10,000 strong now. She will also tell us about the Parachute Program, which was developed this year to empower parents of LGBTQ children as they navigate into new parenting territory so they can better understand their children, be more affirming, celebrate them, and also become resources for those around them. The Parachute Program is not just for parents of LGBTQ children. It is for anyone wanting to increase their knowledge and be supportive of LGBTQ children. I hope you enjoy this episode, and without further ado, let's jump right back into it. All right. Well, Celeste, thank you very much for coming back for part two. I'm excited to have you today, and today we'll be learning all about Mama Dragons and the Parachute Program. Why don't you start by telling us, what is Mama Dragons and how did you get connected to it?
Sure. So before we start that, can I derail you? I wanted to know after the last conversation we had, if, after kind of sitting with it, if you had more questions or clarification questions that you wanted to ask, because it's a lot of information.
As you remember, I was kind of like unclear on some things.
And one of the things I appreciated about your questions is I felt like they were very direct and they were things that people are scared to say. Like here's the things that a lot of people think or the things that they're afraid of or ideals that maybe they've come to, but they don't have the courage to say it because they're afraid that they'll be labeled or that
offensive or whatnot.
And then people aren't able to create any understanding or have a dialogue or
Right. And I hope I didn't come up like offensive or aggressive or anything like that. I
no,
do feel like I came
I
from a
feel
little
like
bit
you
of an ignorant.
A lot of it. Like that you could try to like try it on and like, how does this all fit and try to like make it work in your brain, which is, it's a process.
Absolutely. And luckily for me, I am also not, one of those who I used to be honest, who I used to be, which is completely brainwashed about all of it, church doctrine. I was never like, quote unquote, a bigot, like I hate gays and I was never like that. But I do think I had underlining, this is not right. This is not how it should be, like kind of Bible brainwashed, but also because I'm from Europe and it's more open, generally speaking, for kind of ahead of the US when it comes to that. It was also part of my world and kind of a non-issue, but I won't even say that I was it's just something I didn't know, wasn't comfortable with, and, you know, follow the prophet, you know? And so I had to really dismantle all of that. And I did it on my own. And the way I did it is by listening to the actual people going through those experiences who were, you know, queer, gay, lesbian, not listening to what other people have to say about them, but listening to what they say about themselves. And I don't know if I said that to you, I may have mentioned that, but at the time I did that work, I was still very much active in the church. And I was listening to all of those testimonial and, you know, there is hope, like Voices of Hope or something like that. Do you remember that? So anyways, it's a journey for me and for a lot of people who I think want to try and be more understanding or whatnot. It's a journey. It's, you know, and it's going to be a rocky one, but we got to do this together, right?
And it, you know, I don't know if it has to be rocky, you know, it's so much of why it is rocky is because what we've been taught.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's deconstructing, and that's never easy because we like to feel comfortable in the way we understand things, in the way we are. And as human beings, we hate being wrong. That's something I learned as I was, you know, deconstructing and being like, yeah, I've been wrong my whole life, pretty much on this big part of my life. Accepting the fact that it's okay to be wrong and it's okay to build a better, you know, a better way from that. But it's super hard. Ego is so huge in most people that just saying I'm wrong is like, most people don't like it.
Yeah. So.
Mama Dragons. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Mama Dragons was actually started kind of back in the day. So in 2013, a woman named Gina Cervello, she's building a GSA for American Forks High School. And a student comes to her with questions and she doesn't have a queer child herself. And so she reaches out to all the LGBTQ moms, the moms with LGBTQ kids in the area, and builds a little chat group to start asking them questions for the student. And when they are brought together, essentially what ends up happening is these moms figure out there's other people going through the exact same thing as them. And it just starts blowing up because they are in such deep need of support. Fast forward a little bit, the group keeps growing, and it starts metamorphizing, right? Like the women who are joining the group are primarily LDS in the beginning. And starting about 3 years ago, it starts pivoting because people are also moving through their own faith processes. It's really common that people that come from conservative religions, when they have LGBTQ children, that they have to reevaluate parts of their faith, right? The parts that are unaffirming to their children are really challenging. And so that as people are progressing through their space and time, some people are leaving Mormonism, some people are staying in Mormonism, and then people outside of Mormonism are hearing about Mama Dragons and starting to join the group. In 2018, Mama Dragons becomes an official nonprofit, and it is at that time, like, they've made a strategic decision to open up Mama Dragons to anybody who is in a mothering role of an LGBTQ child. So now we're at, 2021. I've been a paid executive director for Mama Dragons for the last year. And we grew 43% year over year last year.
So how many people is this?
Today, I think we're about 7,300. So by the end of the year, we'll probably be closer to 10,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It, you know, what I think is really beautiful about it, the whole point of the group is to connect with moms who want to be affirming, right? That they're like, I don't think my kid is broken, but I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always that person that says, I wish there was a book or some type of way to like teach me how to raise an LGBTQ kid. And I feel like Mama Dragons has really built that around their programming. And because so often when a kid comes out, especially when the first 1 to 2 years of a mom learning that about their child, there's so much things that they have to learn about that child and how to parent that child. Because the reality is the majority of our moms aren't LGBTQ themselves. So it's, I just think it's a really, really cool program. So the origins of the group really started with a support group where moms could meet and chat and learn and grieve and go through all the processes. I read a research study recently that was talking about the grieving process of parents when their LGBTQ child came out, and that is such a common process of them growing. They need a space.
And when you say the grieving process, meaning the realization that your child is not exactly what you thought he was, and that you have to make that transition, because in your head you had this, you know, picture of maybe what your child would grow up to be, and now you have to reassess and organize in your thoughts, you know, what this could be, or just let it be the way Absolutely. It is.
I think that is one concept, right? Especially with transgender children, that there's this idea that you picture who they're going to marry someday. You picture what their wedding's going to be like. You picture like this entire life for them. But as we know, like for most of us, as kids get older, we don't really get to choose any of that. But there is some deconstruction that has to happen, that has to be like, hey, you know, if I have a transgender child, there is a grieving process of losing sometimes that gender of that child for a parent, and also not appropriate for that parent to put that on the child. And they mm-hmm. need a support system outside the child mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that they can be like, this is really hard and I'm struggling with this. And I want to get this. Mm-hmm. And then having a group of parents that are like, here's some ideas of how you can do that. Here's some things that I did to help get over that hump. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing, because it's not just one person's opinion about how to do that. Because as we know, parenting children is so different. Every child.
Absolutely.
But then you can, you know, have 50 people weigh in on something that they've been through themselves.
Right. Who are closer to your situation. Now, where do the dads come into place? Like, are they completely left out of this, or?
You know, for Mama Dragons, Mama Dragons is specifically for mothers. LGBT children. But a few years back, another group was started called Dragon Dads. And we've been partnering. We have a really great relationship, and they have a very similar mission and drive, a little bit different way that they do it, but mm-hmm. great program.
Okay. Are they growing as fast, and are they as vibrant, or?
They're not growing as fast, and they have a little bit different target market, but mm-hmm. the needs are different, it seems, between dads and moms.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, whatever the mothers, I mean, if they are in a partnership, because they could be single mom too, but if they are in a partnership, they are bringing that knowledge home, and hopefully, you know, it helps the whole family in the end. So that's Absolutely. Also a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And so as Mama Dragons is growing, support groups kept growing. And what we found is that we needed to create some more affinity groups. So to kind of meet people in the exact pocket where they're at, you probably find this within specifically Mormonism. Mm-hmm. We have like a microcosm of what happens within Mormonism, within Mama Dragons. And it is when people within the LDS church start to question some parts of their faith, it becomes kind of off-putting for the people who question no parts of their faith.
Right. So how does that play out? Like, for example, in the Facebook group, right? Where everyone is invited and everyone is here, you know, when people are, let's say, hurt and lashing out on the church, and then how do the, you know, practicing member.
Because now the group is really diverse. Mm-hmm. 25% of our members come from the LDS faith.
Right.
20% of our members are non-religious, 12% are Catholic.
You know, oh, wow. So that's quite a variety here.
So mm-hmm. one of the things we found is people that come from the LDS faith sometimes have a hard time being in a diverse group. A hard time not using the church and
right.
saying, oh, I'm from the LDS church and here's the belief and system. They right. believe that everybody knows that system.
Yeah. Would you say that most people are from Utah or not especially?
No, not even.
Not even.
Mm-hmm. I think it's about 28% people are in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have people all the way through every state of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then people throughout the world. We have 16 primary countries that we have a little bit more growth in. Like Canada, we have, I think, over 150 moms from Canada in our group.
Nice.
But that progress, though, coming from that step by step, mm-hmm. is that as people reevaluate their beliefs, that it becomes really uncomfortable for them to be around other people with differing beliefs. Mm-hmm. So we have a subgroup called Mama's Trying to Stay, and it's really for moms who've taken that first step that like, okay, I've started to reevaluate and I want to stay being LDS, mm-hmm. but I also want to affirm my child. And sometimes it's really uncomfortable and really painful. And I need a place to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what it's the place to process your religion, being an LDS faith and active. And then we have another group called Mamas Moving Forward. And it's people who have been like, hey, this is too painful. This is not the place I need to be anymore. And I need to leave the church. And they go through their own emotional process, which you're very familiar with, where there's a lot of pain and anger and hurt.
Yep.
And it's very uncomfortable for other people to be around that.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with their LGBTQ kid.
Mm-hmm. Is it mostly you? I mean, I'm sure it's a variety of situation, but do you find that a lot of people in that stage have been kind of thrown off, to use that word, because they found out one of their kids was, you know, LGBTQ, and then it triggered the faith crisis, or they were already going through a faith crisis and then this is just an addition? I guess I'm sure you have a little bit of both.
We do. I love these type of questions because I love to collect data on it, because I want to know where our moms are so we can build better programming for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both. You may be surprised, but I think it was only about 25% said that their LGBTQ child led them to leaving their religion.
Gotcha. So a lot of them were already in that process. Yeah.
Well, you also have to think about, if a parent's willing to be affirming, they've probably evaluated some of the teachings that they've learned from a conservative faith already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that they're already probably exploring of being like, what's my value system?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then from Mamas Moving Forward, we have another group that's Mamas with Religious Roots. And that's for other moms that come from the Catholic religion, and they come from evangelical Christianity, and they're going through very similar things, but need a space where the language is a Christian-based language, which I know Mormons believe they're Christian, but they don't take on the Christian culture. And there's a very specific language to Christian culture.
Mm-hmm.
So those are our three religious subgroups. And the really purpose of those are to support parents in their process of learning how to advocate for the LGBTQ child within their faith.
Mm.
And also I want to be clear too, we don't expect people to move through those. We expect people mm-hmm. to meet people exactly where they're at. And they
That's
choose.
Nice.
And then beyond that, we have a couple other specialty groups. One of them is for moms who have transgender children, mm-hmm. because the needs are so specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that group is growing faster than any of our groups.
Oh, wow. How many moms do you have in there?
Oh, I believe it's over 3,000.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
It's somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Every month when I look at the data of people coming in and where they're ending up, that's the group with the highest demand.
That's interesting. So again, not to, you know, quote unquote, call it a trend. I know that's like a negative pejorative, but like what would you say is causing that? Like that there are more and more trans kids coming out, or
first of all, transgender is an umbrella term, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes when I use the word transgender, people are thinking in their head that someone is transitioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the process is happening. But transgender could be non-binary, it could be genderqueer. There's like a whole verbiage that fits under the transgender umbrella.
Okay, this is confusing again, because for me, when I think transgender, that means, you know, I was born a boy and I want to be a girl. Like that's how I understand transgender. Otherwise, what's the difference again?
Transgender can mean that, but that's the umbrella term of essentially the inside, that who you are, your gender of who you are is different than what is seen on the outside, or that what you were born with or assigned at birth, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which means that there's variations of that. It's not so extreme of like one to another, right? Like, it could be how you manifest that, see that, or express that. It could be a range of different elements.
Mm. And so give me some examples.
Let's say you're a genderqueer kid, and there's days that you feel very, very masculine and feel like that part of you is very, very masculine. And then and that part of you is kind of the central force driving you. And then there could be other days or weeks where it's not.
So that means you're what then? You're back to your regular gender? Or
it could be. And that's why sometimes people will change pronouns.
Mm.
And because they want their pronouns to manifest how they feel their gender inside.
Hmm. Interesting. See, yeah, that's something. I mean, it makes sense, you know, as you say it, but it's not something, if you're not used to it, that you think about. And
we're taught in binary, so we try to use that same binary language to learn about the LGBTQ community, but we're saying like, hey, all of this is almost on a spectrum. Mm. And some people fit in that binary, but a lot of people don't.
Mm.
And so that's where you kind of have to unwind that of being like, you're either this or this, where the queer community is saying is like, maybe that's not really true. Maybe there's lots of elements in that. That group just is so relevant because transgender youth specifically are at the highest risk of suicide out of all of our LGBTQ kiddos.
And again, I know I've asked this question. I've asked this question in our first interview, but I think it's important to reiterate. Could you name, you know, maybe top three reasons why they are, you know, at risk so much for suicide?
Yeah, the top one I would put at minority stress. Right, that we understand, I think we understand minority stress as a culture, right? That all these little micro stressors and microaggressions are continually being sent at you, that you're broken, not okay, have less value than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we start presenting those all the way from a young age of like boy or girl, being a wimpy boy or being too tough of a girl, and how that all works and being different in that element, there's a lot of pressure. And we also know with trans women, there's high risks of violence, high risks of murder. It's really scary to be someone who's trans. Like the risk of violence is really scary. Another research study I recently read too, that transgender youth specifically, that every time that there is bullying or persecution or negative comments, it greatly increases their chance of suicide. And so it goes back to that same data of showing that like these microaggressions and these sideways comments, and you think about even comedy 10 years ago, like being transgender was the grossest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched a documentary on Netflix, which left me puzzled, but at the same time, I can see how I was kind of in that, you know, frame before.
But I know even like in recent media, where we had a 4-star general, first transgender woman, and then people specifically also in the military and high ranks, specifically not using their pronouns or name to misgender them, to devalue them.
Oh, disclosure, it's called.
Oh, okay.
It's called disclosure, and it kind of goes through kind of the history.
Like I could think maybe something I remember specifically is, did you ever watch Ace Ventura back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think they used that example in the documentary.
Really, that yeah. I remember, you know, him finding out that this person is trans,
yes,
and
yeah,
the entire scene of them, it being the most disgusting thing in the world, like a plunger on their face and scrubbed out their mouth, and
yeah, you
know, in that movie, like I know it's a movie, but those type of things tell us values.
Yeah, it reinforces the discrimination. But I have a feeling that, you know, Jim Carrey was also, you know, quote unquote, brainwashed in the, you know, binary world. And he probably feels awful about it. So I think we need to kind of leave room for that too, that people do make.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately for him, it's like out there, you know, super public. And I would hope that people would have, you know, some sympathy or empathy for people also acting out of ignorance, you know, which we all have at times. And some are just more disclosed than others. But, you know, yes, they do use that example in that disclosure movie. And I think there is, as you probably heard already, there's a huge controversial right now with
Dave Chappelle.
Yes. I haven't seen it, but I don't know if you have, and you've made your opinion. I'm hesitating. I always kind of try to choose the time to do these kind of things because it brings up, you know, all sorts of noise in my head, and I don't really have time for it right now, but I think eventually I may watch just to have my own opinion, because I don't like to just bandwagon on anyone's opinion. I like to make my own. But apparently it's just, yeah, there's a lot of noise right now about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, like, I love the quote that transgender comedy is fine, but it's don't make transgender people the joke.
It's like anything, right? And if any minority, like, you know, Black people making fun of each other, or Jewish people making, like, I cannot laugh at, you know, some of my cousin's wife, who's like a, you know, Jewish, they live in Israel, and some of her jokes are like, what, you know, but it's about her own people. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to laugh at that because I don't feel it's appropriate for me to laugh at that. You know what I mean? Right. But at the same time, humor can be healing. as you know. But again, yes, it's, are you laughing with me? Or are you laughing at me? It's always that.
And we look at the history.
That fine line.
Is laughing at transgender people. Yeah. So that's a big aspect of like where Mom and Dragons is, where they're growing. And so because we've been growing so fast, we've struggled giving people enough educational resources, because most of the resources are coming from almost like a mentorship. That we have new moms coming in that are generally asking questions. We have more seasoned moms that we hope that, putting that out there too. So if you're a Mom and Dragon, hear this, that you're being as kind as possible to help get that parent to the next step. You know, because we do find people that will get really aggressive with a new mom not getting it right away.
Yeah.
Whoa, too much. Like, be a better teacher, be a better mentor.
Yeah. It's a learning curve. Yeah. For everyone.
But we also have, because most people will stay in the group for those first couple of years of, in that learning phase, as we're growing, like we answer the same questions every month, right? Like every month, the same 100 questions we're answering and we're answering and we're answering. And it's not a great scalable way to do it. And so one of the things that we're launching right now is a program called Parachute. And it's this really beautiful e-learning course that we can scale resources and let parents take kind of the basics, that you can come in and take the basics, learn terminology, hear other parents' stories where they don't always get it right, that probably feel much like your story. And then come into our support group after you've got a little bit of baseline. It also brings up everybody, because a lot of times if you have a gay child, or in your case, a gay husband, you probably did a ton of research about homosexuality, about what it's like being gay, but probably didn't go as much down the transgender path. Because that wasn't the path that was directly affecting you. And one of the things we've been trying to do is raise people kind of up together, so that when you come into the group, you're not just learning about your gay child, but you're learning more about diversity as a whole. And especially people coming from conservative religions that maybe have not been around people of diversity, whether it be LGBTQ people, whether it be people of color, it, like all of those aspects are just like, because we're putting them in a melting pot kind of for the first time. And you're like, this is how you behave. Yeah, and it's tricky. It's really tricky. But it's, the results are just absolutely beautiful. You know, that a parent comes in, and a lot of times their first response is kind of to watch, just based on their learning style, and they'll watch for a couple months and just read comments. And then the day that they comment, and a lot of times it's either celebrating their child, of like having the first time that they could like post a picture of their kid wearing an outfit to school, the first time they've been comfortable, and not being able to do that on their social media platform. Maybe their child's not out, or their family's not affirming. You know, because a lot of these moms, that maybe their partner or husband, they don't understand, and they're not as far along on the journey. Maybe their parents or community or religion don't understand. And so there's not a lot of space for them to even celebrate.
That's very therapeutical for sure. So I was wondering, like in the group, do you have minorities as well, like cultural minorities?
We do. And it's one of the areas we're really trying to improve. Mom Dragons, about, I guess the beginning of this year, we created a DE&I strategy, a diversity, equity, and inclusion plan. And part of it is because we have to adapt our culture to make it more friendly for our colored moms. You know, that our Black moms, well, one specifically, a lot of them aren't in the LDS church. The LDS church wasn't inclusive. And so we're trying to help the group learn how to create a more diverse space. And we've trickled down a diversity training program to all of our volunteers and leadership. And we're trying to get more diverse board members.
Do you have Hispanics and Asians as well, or like other?
We actually have a Hispanic group, or a Latinx group, for moms who speak Spanish. It's called Madres Dragonas. And we're learning a lot too, because originally when we created it, we just paralleled what was happening in the other groups. Oh, this is working really well for everybody else in the other groups. So we'll just make it the same. We'll just make it the same for our Latinx moms. What we found is we projected the culture that we had created in Mama's Dragons into Madres Dragonas, which wasn't helpful. Now we're trying to like repair that and be like, okay, so the familiar needs are different. The persecution is different. The social expectations are different. And how to create a space that people feel safe in, and an element that is about them.
Right. Because even within cultures, they have their own like cultural struggles that are very specific to the culture. Although when you look at it in a grand scale, it's always kind of the same. It's always acceptance or non-acceptance at the end of the day. Right.
And you know, like when we look at acceptance too, we always try to put it back to affirming behaviors where, because people could say accepting is like, I love you. So that's accepting. But we always try to be like, hey, it's affirming behaviors, which means I support you in your dress. I support you in your pronouns. I support you marrying the person you want to marry. And that there's not bias behind that. And we try to almost move moms from understanding. It's kind of our first step. And then we move from understanding to affirming. And then from affirming, we move to celebrating. And then from celebrating, we move to advocating. Mm-hmm. And it's like this linear process. That it's, I think sometimes people think like tolerating would be even lower, right? That's kind of like hate tolerance. Those are kind of the baselines. And then it goes to like, I'm willing to learn and understand from tolerance.
Yeah. Because again, it's a matter of coming out of our comfort zone. And there is always some work involved. If you want to really make a difference, it takes some work. And so that's where it gets a little harder to get people involved.
The concept of Mama Dragons, not everybody wants to be part of a support group, and a huge group of people and that flood of information is too much. And so that parachute program also allows people to go on the privacy of their own home, take at their own pace.
Yeah, I like that.
And then it's also more reachable to other organizations. So if you're a Mama Dragon, there's no charge to take parachute courses. But if you're outside of Mama Dragons, anybody can take it. And it helps us provide funding to build more courses because they're...
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, know this, but e-learning courses are really expensive to build.
I know. I mean, I this is where my line of work, I know.
And we come from a baseline too, where we're trying to do storytelling because people don't change because of data. Even though I love data, people change because they hear their story being told by somebody else.
Yep, absolutely. They can relate and they can find the tools that they need.
And so we are our launch of our first course. We've done a test for it and we're doing a full launch coming up. And after that, we're starting to raise funds and starting building out curriculum for a gender course for obvious reasons that I keep thinking about. And that gender course, I think, is just going to make such a big difference. Nonprofits, we do Giving Tuesday every year, which started November 1st for the entire month. We'll raise specifically funds to build that gender course.
I love it. I'm so glad we're doing this right now because I can definitely promote it. You know, just send me all the links. I'll put that in the note show. I'll post it, you know, on my page, on my podcast.
The cool thing about that course is, you know, we look at that we'll probably be able to reach over time about 15,000 people with that course.
And beyond, I would say, beyond. It's a growing sphere, I want to say. It's a growing sphere where many, many people just don't know how to handle it, don't know how to understand it. And so it's key to just bring that knowledge out in the world.
In the parachute course, the way it's written is it's not focused on one specific religion, but we also allow people to talk about their faith experience if it's raising their child. And so you hear from Catholic moms and you hear from LDS moms and you hear from people from all over the place where maybe they didn't even grow up in a religion, but they grew up in a culture that made it like a little bit crunchy.
Yes.
Or they were accepting and affirming and their kid came out and they got it right, but they still didn't have all the answers.
Right.
Because it's not that simple. None of our kids are simple.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And normalizing the knowledge, I think, will make a huge difference.
I mean, it's that first step, right? From moving from tolerance is understanding. And so much of that comes from education. And everything is written, even though it's very personalized and storytelling, we always start with research-based education. So Parachute right now is being ran by Dr. Jennifer Howell. She has an EdD and everything she does is based upon research-driven academics, right? So, and I love that too, because then it doesn't come back down to just one person's perspective. It's like, here's what the data shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's super important because, I mean, like you said, storytelling and personal experiences are super powerful, but science and data and research really reinforces facts. Simple facts.
Like, especially when you don't have a support system and you don't really know and you're reevaluating how you think and believe. I think going back to the research and being like, all right, here is 10 different research studies that are longitudinal, peer reviewed, that specifically have to do with parenting an LGBTQ child. Like that's a pretty good source to start.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we start. And that's where the language of affirming behaviors come from. Dr. Caitlin Ryan, she runs the Family Acceptance Project out of San Francisco University. And she has done a ton of research specifically on the impacts of family acceptance compared to families who are unaccepting and the impacts mm-hmm. on LGBTQ youth. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible, the difference.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, because children need number one love no matter what, and support no matter what they are, who they are. They need love and knowing that they belong. They belong to their family, they belong to this world, they belong to their community. And if that's not there, that's the base.
Yeah.
And that's going to break a child.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, you had asked in the beginning, like, why did I get involved in this? And I'm probably the abnormal mama dragon, honestly. Mm-hmm. So
I was going to ask.
I know that I am. I got involved with Mama Dragons 5 years ago because I had been going through my own advocacy work. I tried to do it within the church, didn't really work. And I kind of stepped out, but I was like, you know, I care about this. Mm-hmm. I care about not just, it's not even about me. I care about the youth. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we building a world that people don't have to go through unnecessary pain?
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading research, and I read that essentially family acceptance was the biggest indicator or way that we can create healthy LGBTQ youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard about Mama Dragons kind of at the same time, and I applied to join, and they told me no, because I didn't qualify. But I'm very persistent.
What was the non-qualifiers? You did not have kids or?
No.
And yes.
Just queer myself. And which I totally understand, because Mama Dragons doesn't need a bunch of looky-loos on the side, and they don't need people to come in and be like, you have to do it this way because I'm queer and I'm going to show you how to do it. That's not what they need. You know, it's a parenting support group where they can kind of mess up a little bit and have some space to grow. And I just really felt like I could help, though. I come from a business background. I'm not, like, nothing can really offend me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm in a really great space in my life, and I have tons of privilege as a queer person. And I just really wanted it to be like, how can I help them? Like, mm-hmm. how can I, like, be their advocate? Mm-hmm. How can I, like, help these moms? And be like, so often in my life, I've had people that have reached out and built me as a person. And how do I turn that around and be on the outside of that support? And I had met Jen Blair, and at the time she was running a lot of the admin and back end of the system and kind of the powerhouse of making everything function within Mama Dragons, mm-hmm. and built a relationship with her. And I think she was like, oh, she can get stuff done,
mm-hmm.
and allowed me to come on and just help them with marketing for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then after I was doing marketing for a few months, they asked me to be on the board. I think originally they wanted me to be on the board for a queer perspective, which is mm-hmm. always tricky. You probably get, like, targeted to be like, I need a Black woman's perspective.
Which you are not representative of everybody.
No,
just, ever.
I can give people, like, general things that are happening in the queer community or general things that could be hurtful mm-hmm. or helpful. But it's overall, nice. You know, my personal experience is just my personal experience.
It's yes.
It's relevant. Yes. That I'm like, mm-hmm. well, it's one person's experience.
Yeah.
But I was able to help them, get all their operations set up and help them support them in becoming a nonprofit and getting a lot of that stuff done. And I stepped off the board for about a year and a half and just did my own thing. And then they came back and we had talked about putting me into an executive director position. And it was crazy, very fortuitous in time where mm-hmm. I just stepped away from working in business for the last 20 years to get a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. And it wasn't really like filling enough time for me. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a hustler.
Yep. I can see that with your three jobs and plus.
It's like I function better when I'm a bit busy. And it's paired really well that, you know, I work with Mama Dragons and I love looking at it from the place that, like, I don't run Mama Dragons, right? I feel like I'm the facilitator of Mama Dragons, where I'm trying to take this bigger construct of, like, what are we trying to achieve? What's the mission? And then gather all the feedback that I can, and then mm-hmm. help Mama Dragons make the best decisions they can to get to the goals that they say they want to get to.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Often people will be like, oh, like, is that what you wanted to happen? I'm like, no, you know, whatever the day-to-day is, I'm like, but it's not about me in the day-to-day. We can get up the mountain 1,000 different ways.
Yeah, as long as you have the moms and their families, because I see, you know, one person represents many usually. But if you can empower one and they can bring that value back home, the end result is a happy kid and a happy family. It's beautiful. Yeah. And you've reached your goals at that. It's not an overnight thing. I think, you know, I can speak for myself as a parent who could have, you know, a child who's LGBTQ, like no one, they're, you know, I don't know right now, like they're doing their thing and they're kids and but I am very prepared for any of them to be like, hey, you know, this is my preference. And like I said, you know, in part one, they know they're in a good place if they were. But as a parent, no matter what your kid are, you personally, and I would hope all parents is always looking for, you know, tools and insight and how can I do this better? Because it's a everyday learn as you go type of thing. And I'm personally grateful for any positive reinforcements that I can get for myself and for my children.
And you know, the just that concept, if you have children, taking a parenting course in LGBTQ mm-hmm. children is probably going to benefit you. You know, they either it maybe it directly applies to the children you have and you don't know that's mm-hmm. you know, they're going to come out someday, or it applies to their friends that maybe aren't getting support that they need, and that you can be that person, because it takes one affirming adult, you know.
Yes, to maybe save a child.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people think, well, my kid's not LGBTQ, so I don't have to do my work. And I'm like,
oh no, yeah. Oh. I'm always like, any one of them could be at some point. I don't know. And I do want to be prepared. And I do feel like, you know, maybe like I wasn't, you know, aware of your course, and I've been curious. Like I hadn't heard about it until you sent me your bio and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like, what is this? It poked my curiosity, because I do feel like I do my own kind of research and learning on my own. It's not, I have a, you know, zillion other things, but it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm always, it's in my awareness, having something more sturdy that's well-structured and organized. Sure, why not? You know, I'll add my library, like no problem.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you being so open. I know a lot of people, like even having this dialogue, like we talked about before, would be really comfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. That is, I like when people can ask those questions of being like, hey, like I want to use the right pronouns, but it's really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I love my kid and I want them to be successful and thrive, but I'm not quite getting this.
Mm-hmm.
Like those questions allow people to have open space to actually like work through some of that stuff. And by just like thinking in your head and not changing your behavior is not really helpful.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, this was really, really good. This was exactly what I was hoping for and wanted to just learn more about, you know, what Mama Dragon is, what the parachute program is, why you're doing it. So thank you. Thank you very much. I always like to kind of give you the last word still. And if there is any words of wisdom, encouragement that you want to give to the listeners who've never heard about all of this, yes, what would you want to say?
You know, I guess I would assume that most people that are listening to this have gone through some type of faith journey, or they probably wouldn't be listening to this. And I think the process of going through a faith journey really opens up your soul and heart to just learning and exploring more, which mm-hmm. to me is you're in the perfect position to try some of this stuff on, to be mm-hmm. like, you know, what is it like for someone to be LGBTQ? What are their stories? Like, if you listen to their stories, and one of the things I've learned in life is that you take people's stories verbatim. If that's their experience and that's what they're feeling, that's the reality. And if you hear them, I think that it's hard not to understand and be mm-hmm. like, oh, you're going through pain and we need to shift our perspectives so we can stop hurting you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I most likely will call you back on in the future just to discuss, you know, more about some aspects of either Mama Dragons or the journey people are on. And so I hope that you'll be willing to come on. And I hope we get to meet in person, you know, at some point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah, thank you so, so much, Celeste.
Like having a podcast is so hard. So thank you for doing this. It is. Okay. Jamie, my partner, has a little cute podcast called
uh-huh.
Straight Mom that she does with her oldest kid. And it's like it takes so much work just to edit and
it does.
I'm gonna ask and like have a plan, and I admire that about you, and I really appreciate the work you're doing to help your community.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Face Transition Podcast with Celeste Carolyn. Please go to mamadragons.org, the website, so you can learn more about they do. You can also make a donation to support their work and creation of more courses for the parachute program. I really hope that you learned something today, that you were enlightened, that your desire to be of support for LGBTQ children has grown even more. Feel free to leave comments, questions, thoughts, subscribe and share with those you think may benefit from this. You can reach me on Instagram or Facebook at the Face Transition Podcast. Remember that life has amazing things in store for those who do not give up. I am your host, Juliana, and I will see you next time.